Welcome to Hometown Glory, your Spurs and Culture podcast. I'm Rosa, and I've got Lauren and Sam with me, and Billy is going to jump on later for possibly our last peaceful pod on this earth. Yep, it's a North London derby this weekend, and sadly, nothing can stop it from happening. But before we get into that, we're going to look back at what was, I guess, our FA Cup final preview game, Spurs women, our annoying but encouraging draw with Man United last weekend. And then afterwards, we'll try to think of stuff that makes us happy with some culture picks. Onwards. I'll do a quick nausea check, I guess, before we dive into the women's game. Sam, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
All right, good.
I just want to get it on with Sunday. Like, I want to wake up tomorrow and for it to be Sunday.
Oh, like, you're very much like rip the plaster off, like,
yeah, but in like in a good way. It's not, I'm not like absolutely dreading it, but I've had enough waiting for it now. I want it, and yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, you're not a leave your homework to the last minute kind of person, in the hope that it'll disappear.
Yeah,
Lauren.
I'm feeling calm. I do think a lot of that is my FA Cup final protective jacket that I'm wearing. Mm-hmm. But I'm just kind of like, let's just get it over with. To be fair, on North London derby days, I don't start feeling sick until the morning of the game when I can wake up, and then it's just really uncomfortable. But I'm just, yeah, I this limbo week where you're just kind of waiting for it to happen. There's a lot of build up. They start showing clips of old games and stuff. I'm just like, let's just play the game.
Or if you're the Premier League Twitter account, you remind everybody that 20 years ago today, they won the league at White Hart Lane. So
honestly,
thanks, Zaga.
I blocked the account for a few hours because I didn't want to see it retweeted onto my timeline either.
Listen, so, self-preservation is key in these weeks, I find. Mm. Yeah. All right, we're gonna delve deeper into our feelings about this horrific match later. But first, let's look back at Sunday. Spurs women travelled up to play Manchester United in what is effectively a preview of the FA Cup final. So we got to see how we line up without our beloved Grace Clinton, who obviously can't play in the final because she's on loan from them. It was 2-2 in the end. We went 1-0 down and then brought it back to 2-1 very, very quickly, like two goals in about 3 minutes, I think, from Jess Naz and Beth England. And then we conceded a pretty sickening last minute equaliser from a set piece. So that was annoying. But overall, I feel really good about what happened and how kind of most of the game panned out, aside from those few last minutes. How did you feel about it, Lauren?
Yeah, it's one of those. I think if someone would have said going into the game 2-2 draw, you'd think, yeah, I'll take that. But I think when you concede in the way that we did right at the end, it almost felt like we lost the game.
Yeah.
But I think, like, you know, a few days on, it's a good result. I think it leaves us with knowing that we can get at them, but also, you know, stuff for us to work on. But it's just, it's that sucker punch because we should have got 3 points. But yeah, I think, you know, we've never beaten them before. But, I think we really showed how much we've improved. So I think if you think about the first, like the reverse fixture, when we were all over the place and then obviously them playing without Grace, like we got spanked. So to actually
4-0, wasn't it?
So I think, I think a lot of people have always seen, you know, United as the favourites for the final, and I think we shut quite a lot of people up to let them know that we're around and we're gonna play well in the final. So 2-2, yeah, I'll take it.
I will take it because I also don't. I like to follow the Manchester City pattern of we're just building up to our win. We're building up to our win in the cup. Sam, are you with me on this?
Yeah, big time. I think that, yeah, obviously a win would have been lovely, but it's kind of nice going into the final, having that one last box to tick and that one last scalp to take. Definitely deserving of a win. I think there's like, if you're Robert walking away from that, I think you'd be feeling pretty confident that we've got enough in the bag to get the job done when it actually matters, right? I feel like it'd be like really upsetting if we blew them away in the league, and then when it came to FA Cup final day, that we didn't back up that performance. Whereas, yeah, I think we can take a lot from that to Wembley and improve on it. And yeah, like you said, it's like really unlucky not to see it out and get 3 points there. But hopefully it will not, you need any motivation for an FA Cup final, but it's just going to be that one last little thing to get people ready for. And I quite like going into the cup final just a little bit of an underdog as well, because, you know, it would have been one of those things that I think a lot of people will write us off in the final because, you know, we beat them in the league most recently and whatnot. But I'm feeling good. I think it was like a pretty great performance all around, all things considered, you know, missing some big names and obviously injury to Martha quite early as well. So yeah, overall feeling very positive from that, as annoying
yeah,
as it was.
Your new best friend, Martha Thomas.
Yeah, mate, we've been besties for a whole 2 days.
Such
now.
A good story. I love it. Tell everyone about this because it's had me buzzing.
Oh, it's just cool. I just started like rolling out some of the pictures from that glorious day at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium onto, I guess, like my more photo diary account, the Black and White Heart Lane one, and just tagged a few of the girls that were in the pictures, and then Martha just reached out in the DMs and was like, "This is amazing. Love the pictures. Can you send them to me?" And I was like, "Absolutely, my queen. Anything you ask."
And are you going to be okay? Did you get an answer?
Yeah, she just did the little like hands up praise emoji. So I'm taking that as a yes. Okay. I'm fully fit.
Good.
But maybe I'm looking too much into that.
We'll take it. We'll take it. At least it wasn't like, yeah, sad. Bumped head emoji face.
You would have told me, right, if there was something really wrong. That's the way I'm seeing it.
She wouldn't lie to you. She wouldn't lie to you. I love exactly. This. I love that. Yeah, you're there now on their grids. Just incredible scenes. Lauren, how do you think we did without Grace Clinton?
Fine. In all fairness, I think.
Ringing endorsement.
I think we've shown that we're a team. It's okay, you know, we've got some individual superstars and you know, individuals who are having a fantastic season, but Celine didn't play, and that was the first league game she's got a foot injury. Robert said she'll miss Brighton, but hopefully she'll be back in training next week. He also did say in the press conference today that Martha is precautionary. Okay. So thank God it's not serious. But I think we've shown that it's an identity and it's tactical ideas in the way that we're playing. And I think Matilda, who actually came in for Grace, had a phenomenal game. She was a direct threat, kind of running in behind. Obviously, we got the second goal because she just didn't give up, unlike Marriott. So
I love that little bit of needle.
I think we're just showing that we've got different ways of playing with different combinations of players, and we have a team that's feeling confident. Don't get me wrong, you know, Grace Clinton, she's a fantastic player, but I'm really happy to watch our team kind of take on the challenge and execute the game plan. And I think at the beginning of the season, I think we would probably sit here crying and think, God, how are we going to play without Grace? But I think we have shown that, you know, like I started the campaign early, like we do need to sign her. But I think we also showed that we are going to continue to develop as a team with or without her. It would be great if she comes on that journey with us, but this is Robert's plan, and it's a team that we're developing.
Just on that, I'm sure you guys saw Caroline's tweet about sort of sharing like Grace's stats throughout the FA Cup, and again, not taken away from how amazing as a player she is. Like, she blew my mind watching her in the semi-final the other day. But I think it's just like classic lazy journalism that we're so used to, like with our men's team as well, just being like, you're the Harry Kane team. And you know, one player makes the entire team. It's just not the case, is it?
She's just the one they've heard of.
Yeah, exactly.
That's literally all it is.
Yeah.
Boring journalism.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just feel sad because we're not going to get to see her on that big stage. And that's a shame for us, and because she's the kind of player that we all love to watch, and is a real shame for her. But we absolutely can manage it without her. And I think that was really encouraging to see. And I think so many other players are hitting form at just the right time. Obviously, Jess Naz came through with a goal again, and players like Matilda Vinberg. And I also feel like maybe I'm overthinking this a little bit, but I feel like Robert very deliberately did not bring on certain players because he didn't want to show his hand too much. So Ramona Petzelberger came on and Rosella Ryan came on, and I don't think they're going to be involved in the final, realistically. We didn't see Celine, she's injured. We didn't see Charlie Grant. You know, we didn't even see like Shuang Wang, who could potentially have something to do in the final as well. So I think it was about like seeing how far we could push it without necessarily like using all our ammunition. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's like really nice seeing the depth in that squad now. Hey, it's like come a long way.
It's glorious.
And I can't speak for it the same way that you two have. You've watched a hell of a lot more football than I have, but like, yeah, even the games that I saw at the tail end of last season compared to now, and we're just deep in that squad. It's just like really, really nice to see week to week.
We're a totally different side. Lauren, do we just have to worry a little bit about concentration?
Yeah, I personally think that at least 30% of our training needs to be dedicated to defending set pieces.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen for the women. It's not going to happen for the men. Just let that dream die.
I know, but on it, like on my transfer list, on both sides of the club, you've got to get yourself a set piece coach, because I think United did, from open play, they didn't scare me, but it felt like every time they had a corner, or every time they had a free kick, they were going to score. And I do think that United played their hand more than we did, because we did see like Jace and Lucia Garcia come off the bench, and then it made it kind of a tricky game. But we also just saw brute force, and the way they were kind of piling our box. I don't know if it's concentration, if it's communication, if it's just because we're a bit shorter and not as strong. I don't know, but it feels like we are conceding the same type of goals. So I do think we need to try and practice and like cut that out, because we don't want to be in a situation again in the final where like we've got something to hold on to and then we just kind of throw it away. And that's not United having to play particularly well to beat us. That's just kind of a mix up in the box. But I don't know. I think, you know, like you both said, probably, I mean, I don't, you know, probably Ross doesn't even make the squad in the final, really, if everyone's fully fit. So I do think we've still got different options. I think we pretty much saw United's strongest team. That wasn't ours. Mm-hmm. Food for thought, but we can't throw away all the good work by just the calamities, because it was both goals. Like the first goal, I just think if you're a keeper, Becky, I love you to bits, but you cannot come off your line like that and not make contact with the ball, because you just left the goal wide open. And then, just, you know, towards the end of the game, we just weren't clearing our lines. So yeah,
I mean, it is hard, but we were under a lot of pressure, and it's really, I do think it is quite a lot about concentration. I know what you mean about, if there is something about United, they've always, we're much closer to them in terms of our physicality than we were, you know, last year, where they just seemed like they just came from a different league, really. But you know, when you're under that much pressure, you can't let your concentration drop even for a second. So I'd have to hope that the sort of, like, the cup final vibes will see us through, maybe. Really,
yeah,
our
big game players, like Becky, doesn't make that mistake.
Yeah.
It's a bigger game, I think, than it is. But yeah, like, we have massively closed the gap, absolutely. But yeah, I think we've just got to be, it's going to have to be bodies on the line, full focus, like we have shown really in the FA Cup run. I was going to say not from the start, because we had a couple of poor starts to games, but it's going to be more like the Man City performance, I think, where we know that they're going to come at us, and we've just got to kind of stay focused and stay in the game. But the one thing I will say about this team now is whenever we go behind, I'm like, oh, annoying, but oh well, we'll come back.
Yeah.
And that's a completely different feeling. I've never had that feeling watching this team before. It was kind of like, you know, if you go 1-0 down early on to one of the big sides, you're like praying it's not going to be 4, 5, 6. But the fact that it doesn't faze us, I think it's something that's going to be a real kind of key strength. Because if we're there on the big stage and we do go down, like we go a goal down, the players will bounce back, which, like, it's something that we've probably done and used really in throughout this kind of entire cup run.
And I also think that having the semi-final at our stadium, I think that was such a big occasion for the players as well. And I think it did kind of get to them a little bit at the beginning. But I think having sort of gone through that and having gone through that moment of like, oh my God, we're on a really big stage. It's a really big moment. We're like one or two steps away from glory. Like, hopefully they've worked through some of that as well. And they're not going to be as rattled by being at Wembley and by playing United. Like, we know, like, we deserve to be here. We know we can take on this team. Like, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Just 90,000 people.
Just, we've sold it out, man. It's so cool. It's so, so sick. Cool.
Happy day, believe it.
That Tottenham end is going to be so fucking loud. Like, I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be unreal. Yeah.
I'm so excited. Like, it was kind of, I think, seeing the kind of, obviously for me, like, I there was no real panic on Monday, but actually seeing the panic on Wednesday and like so many people clamoring, wanting to get tickets, I was just like, I just, a year ago, it was like, someone could have, like, I can't believe this is happening. Like, I cannot believe the journey that we've been on this season. And yeah, I think to kind of to sell out our allocation as quickly as we have, it's just a thank you to the fan base for coming and, you know, turning up and supporting this team. And I think we are going to need the atmosphere at times and kind of be the 12th player. So yeah, I'm excited. But I also do think, let's not forget that Beth England, Martha Thomas, Becky Spencer, they've all played in FA Cup finals before. Some of them are winners. So I actually think the spine of our team have been there, done it, and that experience will definitely help us.
That's true. And Drew was interviewed about it. Just a little thing called a World Cup. Yeah, no biggie. weirdly, we still have some league games left to play. Like,
boring.
I know. I'm like, I don't care, man.
Just end the season now.
Just let everyone just do some little training. We got to play Brighton on Sunday at the exact same time as the men's game. So, I don't know, like, I was going to say, like, sarcastic thanks for that bit of scheduling, but who knows? Maybe I actually do mean it. Last time out, way, way, way back at the beginning of the season, we went there and we beat them 3-1 after going down a goal, I think. I think we went 1-0 down.
Yeah, we did. I was at the Amex for that game. I was thinking,
oh, yeah, you were. Yeah,
so yeah. Yeah. it was like years ago.
Yeah, it's honestly, what a journey. What a journey. I sort of feel like I don't know how this game is going to go at all. I don't really have any sense of like normality in the league anymore.
Yeah, and I think Brighton are a hard side to play because I just think they're really inconsistent. Like they'll win, they'll draw, they'll lose. There's no, it doesn't feel like they have like a run of form. So I don't know like what Brighton team are going to turn up. I think the same rule applies. I think if we play and execute our game plan, we'll win the game. But I do think we'll have to keep an eye on like Turlan. She's been in fantastic form for them.
Yeah.
This season, if Bunny Shaw didn't exist, then she would be in the running probably for Golden Boot. But yeah, I think you know, for us, I think it's just we have to just keep things ticking over. I think we have to keep practicing things that you know and play our football and try different combinations. And I, you know, I see these as you know these are proper preparation games to get to kind of get ready for that final. I don't think. Obviously, we're kind of ish still in the hunt, chasing upwards the table to kind of Liverpool and United. But yeah, like I said this last week, my head's gone. Like, I don't really care.
Yeah, nobody, like, we don't care. They don't care. Yeah. The only thing I'd be interested to know, I guess, is if we will see, and again, not to make it all about Grace, but obviously she is a player we're going to have to do about this. Well, there's two questions, I guess. Do we think we will see less of Grace? I'm sure she'll still start, but will he kind of take her off earlier and bring on Matilda, for example, or and also do we think that Molly is gonna be start is he's gonna start to phase Molly back in? Bill, welcome. We're just wrapping up with our Women v Brighton preview.
Yo.
I think Molly's a tough one because I do think defensively we've been really solid, but I don't think she deserves to sit on the bench for the rest of the season, especially like, you know, she was out for illness. So I don't know, but then do you change something that's working at the same time? I think Grace will come back into the team. I think if Celine's still out, then there is the case that, and if Martha's not ready to start, then there's the case to put Grace into the 10. And Matilda would start as well, and then I don't know whether Beth would play off the right again or Jess would play there. So I think there's a case for Grace to come back into the team. I think she probably will play all of the league games, and just not the final. Whether she gets dropped for, I think we play Everton is the last game before the final. Whether she gets dropped for that one, and he wants to put his starting 11 in, so they, I don't know. But again, nice problem to have.
This it really is.
We're in the pits of hell. So
true. Sam, obviously for you, it's a tough one because we all do love Molly. But now we know that Amy James-Turner and Luana Bula are fans of your photography. We can't break up that partnership.
No. Lifetime deals. Keep them there. Keep them there.
All right. It is now we've got Bill. It is time to turn our attention to the North London Derby. I think for me, it's like the second worst game because I think obviously the away game is like the pit of hell. Billy, what sort of a mood are you in right now?
A combative mood, man. I just want it to, I'm up for it.
Oh, man. I like this. Okay, feeling punchy. Okay.
Yeah, do you know what? I've seen a lot of energy on Twitter that's like, obviously, I get the fact that, it could be potentially quite like it. It'd be a really difficult game. They're obviously in really good form. But I just hate like our fans are like proper glorifying them. And that's not the kind of energy I'm trying to bring. So, yeah, bring it on.
This is good. I like this because I'm gonna tell you guys something that I came home from work yesterday and Ollie and I were discussing this game and he is absolutely, you will not be surprised to hear that he is absolutely fuming at that energy or lack of energy from Spurs fans online who are just like, oh, we're just going to get like absolutely like thrashed basically. We
please end, change so, everything, play 10
exactly
at the back.
Like, oh, they're so good and we're so bad and blah blah blah, and I was like, well, I'm a bit scared, and he was like, no, pathetic, just sort yourself out. So I feel quite chastened, so this is quite good, this is a good vibe to have. Is ever so I'm not going, Lauren, you're not going, but you guys will be there.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course.
All right, you're feeling bullish. I like this. I do still. Hello, how do we think it's going to go, man? I just. Do you have, like, Sam, do you have any concept of what, of like where we are in relation to them? Is it very much like this could be anything? We've seen what Everton did to Liverpool last night.
Or... Yeah, I think like you can, that's the classic football cliche of, you know, form goes out the window for a derby. And like, mm-hmm. I do believe in that. We've seen it last night. Not that Liverpool are in crash hot form or anything, but mental stuff happens in derbies. And even recent history tells us that we were meant to lose 6-0 at the Emirates this season. Didn't happen. We actually probably deserved to win that game. I think that if the atmosphere is what it should be and what mm-hmm. it can be, it could be really pivotal on the result, how we perform, how they perform. And yeah, it's football, man. Anything can happen. 90 minutes, 11v11. I think people just get so carried away, and that if every game was won on paper and the informed side won every game of football, it would be really boring and none of us would ever watch it. So yeah, just grow up, back your team, and yeah, like literally just get behind the side and see what happens. And I think we'll surprise a few people, because I don't think we'll put up two horrific performances back to back. They've had a couple of weeks to reflect on that. And yeah, if you're a Tottenham player, you know that, like I was saying to my mate today, that you, if they get a result on Sunday, you'll go down in Tottenham folklore, because you lost the league at White Hart Lane, and we'll never let them live it down. It'll be like the 3-0 when they, like, every gun is a runner, this sort of stuff we don't forget. And it will be the same this season as well. So if you're a Tottenham player, there is no excuse for motivation. Let's go.
I just want to do it. I really want to do it. Do you think they will be properly up for it, Lauren? Because you and I had a little discussion about this on Twitter, where you were watching them play Chelsea. Just fucking disgraceful performance from Chelsea on Tuesday night, and you were like, oh my god, they're not even going to be tired. And I was like, us, like, we on the other hand will probably be half asleep. And you were like, they won't be, they know what's at stake. Do you truly believe that?
Yeah.
Good.
I know, I really do. I agree with Sam. For me, I don't really make predictions for this derby. Mm-hmm. I have three non-negotiables: don't embarrass the fans, don't embarrass the badge, and don't embarrass the club. Or even yourselves, actually, don't embarrass yourselves. And I think if you apply those three rules, whatever the result is, I will forgive every single one of those players, play for the badge, win every duel, and whatever happens, happens. It's a game of football. But I don't think you can be a Tottenham player and walk out on Sunday and not understand what this game means to this fan base. And I know we'll see, like, Dele Alli and Eric Dier, and we have seen the likes of them tell us over the years that the Chelsea one meant more. I'm sorry, this is the North London derby. We're playing Arsenal. Turn the fuck up. And there's no excuse not to. I don't want to hear about tiredness, or we're not sharp, or you find the energy to play and you play for us. And I hope, obviously, everyone that's going to the stadium create the atmosphere that they need. But even if you're playing in silence, this is a derby. And you've got to understand the context of the game. And I think players like Son will not allow anybody in that dressing room to not understand the context of the game.
I just want someone to send that to Ange so he can just play it before the game. I feel fucking inspired.
If there's any manager that gets it
right now, it's true. It's really true. Yeah.
It'll be him. And like, I'd fucking pay all the money I've got to be a fly on the wall for to hear what he has to say, because I'm sure it'd like have me in tears and shaking and clenched fists and punching walls and stuff.
Definitely, because I think, you know, as much as I obviously was a Conte defender, I just, like, by the time of this game last season, it was just Like, it just didn't feel like anybody was kind of up for it, really. I don't think the team was. I don't know if the fans even were in the stadium. Billy, given everything that's been going on online this week, do you think that the stadium will be rocking? Do you think we will have been inspired by what happened last night with Everton?
I think so, man. Yeah, and you've got to be ready, innit? Like, what's the... Yeah, I think so. I think there's enough riding on it for it to be huge in the first place, plus you've seen the Everton thing and... You know, it's a Sunday, and I just think like that there's so much going into it that I think so. Yeah, I think the only thing that would stop it from doing that is if they got an early goal. But yeah, I think it's going to be absolutely rocking, to be honest. And like yesterday just showed how much that can have an effect on the fans. And what I hope we do is try and make it a little bit like it was 2-3 years ago for that 3-0. And then I think we've got a real chance if we can do that.
How did we do it 2 years ago, man? Like, I don't really remember. I just know it happened and it ended up being like the most relaxed I've ever been watching a North London derby.
Yeah, I think it was because there was so much riding on that game, which doesn't normally, it was like a shootout for a top four spot, which doesn't usually happen. And now it's like, it's kind of, there's different stuff riding on this one. Like obviously, we won't have to stop them from winning the league and also our own sort of top Champions League places in the balance as well. So it's still a pretty big one. You know, compared to what we've had over recent years, it's definitely up there and one of the biggest ones, I think. And any time that you play them this end of the season, there's going to be something going on anyway. But hopefully that, you know, they shouldn't hopefully have to use that to have atmosphere in our ground against Arsenal. It should just be a given.
I think the other little thing that's hopefully will perk the fan base up a little bit, that as we speak, City are 4-0 up.
Yeah.
Because if they were losing tonight, that I think would have been, it's just been playing on people's minds, right? Like, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, maybe we'll go into it a bit later, but in short, I think we've had a pretty good season overall, but the fact that lot have done what they have down the road has compounded all the ill feelings, and it's made it worse than it is. But yeah, sorry, go on.
It's nowhere near as toxic as it was last season, obviously, but it just is exhausting having to deal with this again, isn't it? Like, I really thought once we got over last year and they didn't do it, I just thought, oh, well, I don't know what I thought. I just assumed I wouldn't have to sort of be in this position again. And it's like already, do you know what I mean? We're like they're four games from potential glory. I'm like, I can't do this again. It shouldn't really matter. It shouldn't matter. It's just them. I want to focus on us. But it's just the reality of it. Who do you most want to turn up on Sunday? Give me one player, each of you, that you're just like, just I need to see this from you. Lauren, you first.
James Maddison.
Mm-hmm.
I need him to have a good game. Because I think what he did at the Emirates, he had a fantastic game there, and I think we've kind of been waiting for him to find his best form. And he's the type of character that I think rises to the occasion in games like this. So I think if we come flying out the traps and he's getting on the ball and he's the James Maddison that we know, for me, that will give me so much more confidence that we can get these 3 points. So I really hope we see the best of him on Sunday.
What do you think's been holding him back?
An inadequate six, to summarise.
Yeah, I agree. And I basically said that earlier today. Okay, that's good. I like that. I like it. We weren't even in the same conversation and we're just like mind meld. Amazing. Billy.
Son, for sure, because most of our big games of the last 3 or 4 years, the real big games, the ones that we've won, have had Son has had a massive part in them, really. I can't think of many where it's not been him or Kane or him and Kane or some kind of combination of that. And certainly all the big games this season, Son has won us a lot of them. So if we're going to win on Sunday, I think Son's going to have to be, you know, captain. He's going to have to be the one that's, you know, it's going to get us the goals. And I just want to see, as we've seen so many times over the last few years, him score against Arsenal again.
Yeah, we just want to see it. Sam, what are you thinking?
You like my answer? Ben Davis.
That did cross my mind. That actually did cross my
fucking
mind.
Fucking yes. I won't even be annoyed you stole it from me because I haven't actually thought about who I would like to see have a big game. Incredible, yes. I'm just going to say this, and then I'll let you say your piece, that obviously Destiny being out is a really big blow. That said, I think given the backup situation, I think it's better that it was that side than the other.
Agree.
Yeah.
But I'm agree.
Excellent. Yeah. Hasn't really been as much GB's coming to save us content this week as I thought there would be, but perhaps it's all being kept in reserve for next week. So cometh the hour, cometh the gentle Welshman. Okay, guys, I know we're trying to be more up for it and we will return to that, but I also feel like we do have to, this is the kind of podcast where we're getting our feelings about games and teams where we've had a tough time. So from each of you, I would like your worst North London derby memory, please. And Lauren, you started to tell me this earlier and then you stopped yourself and saved it for the pod. So now I want to hear it.
So my worst was my first North London derby that I went to.
Oh, God.
I think I carried PTSD from then because I just remember, like, younger, it's so hard to get tickets at Whitehall Lane anyway, let alone the derbies. But I remember it was a Carling Cup match. I was so excited. I think it was 2010. So excited to go. Arsenal took the lead. Robbie Keane equalised second half. And we managed to hold on and get to extra time. The place was rocking. Extra time started and we conceded a penalty after like 30 seconds. And we were 4-1 down by the end of the first period of extra time. And all I remember is my dad yanking me from the seat and said, come on, we're leaving.
God bless your father. Honestly, that's the only way. That's like, I truly love my child. We're getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah, so I've carried that from that moment, and which is why I'm never rushing to get North London derby tickets, because it scarred me. That was really painful, just in the manner of, I think we literally conceded two penalties in extra time. And I remember the Arsenal fans were literally chanting, oh, has the penalty shootout started early?
My heart hurts for you, Lauren, for that.
Yeah, that was a really horrible experience.
Was that, did it end up, was it 4-1 in the end? Or did?
Yeah, it was 4-1. But it was just like, the emotion, because it was a midweek game, it was under the lights. And you just think, oh, we finally got to extra time and we just collapsed, like mentally capitulated. Yeah, that was tough to take. So yeah, that still is.
You're like,
the
I'm
worst
not coming back. I'm not coming back to see this game ever again. No, thank you. Yeah, that's really devastating. Sam, what's yours?
Mine's more recent. So it was last season, and a couple of reasons why that I've only actually been to a couple of North London derbies. Last season's was the one that I chose because I've only been home to Australia twice in 2 years. And I arranged this most recent trip sort of around making sure that I was back for the North London derby. And I'd left sunny Australia, arrived, and it was like, yeah, raining, cold.
This showed up club, to this, man.
This derby, and then we just got walloped 3-0. And then I just like sort of, yeah, wandered off to the train and went home and just wondered why I was living in this country for a while.
Why am I here?
Yeah, it really,
they only,
really
this
hurt.
Country only it, brings pain.
It just for so many reasons it hurt. And it was obviously like an awful, awful atmosphere that day. You know, had Ramsdale getting kicked in the face by that fan.
Oh God, I forgot all about that. Yeah,
was a pretty gross one to be at. So that one takes the cake for me.
Yeah, that's a pretty dark memory. Yeah, definitely an infamous day for all of us. Billy, what's yours?
I'm going to go a bit reverse and say it was the 3-0 that we won in May 2022 because first of all, that game was scheduled to be on my birthday, and obviously it got COVID cancelled.
Oh yeah, quote unquote COVID. Yeah,
COVID. Yeah, they cried off.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty annoying. And then right, so that game is a bit like the City game this year, and if you like, it was in limbo for a very long time. And obviously, I work as a school teacher, and we're going on a residential, and there was a window of that game like 2 weeks before, 2 weeks after. And I was just thinking all of that for the rest of the day has got cancelled. As long as that game doesn't get arranged in that week when I'm away with the kids, it's fine. It's going to be absolutely fine. Then, of course, it did get arranged for that day. And there's obviously that I contemplated, right, asking my school if I could leave the residential, go back and then go back again. But I didn't do it, obviously. And then I had to watch that game on the terrible Wi-Fi on my phone in the staff room of like this residential area in Isle of Wight, and it was absolutely horrific. Just not being a part of it, and like obviously that goes down as like one of the best games. Well, most people agree that it's probably the best game in the new stadium. I just wasn't there. It was obviously a great night in general. And to make it worse as well, I gave, obviously the tickets for that game are in massive demand, and I gave my mate my ticket for free, a print screen, and then his bus broke down on the way, so he didn't even make it either. So my
a truly cursed day.
But maybe it was all that had to be.
Maybe it needed to happen, right?
You know, if the thing is, if these are the sacrifices we have to make, I will make that. I just need to know, football gods, what do you need me to do? And I'll fucking do it.
Every time I look back on that game, it's like I always feel like a little bit of like, oh man, I just wish I wasn't there. The only other time that's happened as well, and I gave away my ticket to my friend because I couldn't make it, was the Chelsea 3-1 as well. So that's the two times it's happened to me. And it's been horrific both times. I've missed like two of the like pinnacle Spurs games from doing it. Chelsea away when we won 3-1, and Arsenal when we won 3-0. So I'm definitely going to think of giving up my ticket for Sunday if anyone wants.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you want to give up your ticket for Sunday? Please make that sacrifice one more time.
I was away for that one as well, Billy. I was on holiday with my folks, and I was watching at like some dusty bar in Greece. And then there was a classic that there was like 10 gooners there, all in like full kit. And I just got up every single goal, just pointing at them all. And they cleared out by the second. It was glorious.
But by the second goal, that is what they're like.
I mean,
man.
That is
what
them, is isn't it? God. The second goal, they're all gone.
Because I tried to like stream it as well through like it's like the Isle of Wight version of Wi-Fi, and like it was so like delayed. By the time I actually finally connected to the Wi-Fi, we were already like 1-0 up. I think I missed the ball completely.
It's a game from last season.
It's just, from that point, I just didn't even bother, and I just scrolled Twitter, which was a much better way to enjoy it, I think. And it's still worth it in the end. But that was a game that will haunt me for the rest of my life, I think.
That's a very sad tale. But at the same time, like we said, maybe these sacrifices are necessary. I'll tell you mine, which is a game I was also not there for. Because this is why I just like, don't do good things with your time, people, because this is the kind of reward that you get. So this is back in 2012. So you know where this is headed. And it was the game where if we won it, we were going to go 10 points ahead of Arsenal. And we would like, then we would be on course to like finish above them for the first time in like 100 years. And it was all the talk, and we should have known, like all the talk leading up to it was about like, is, you know, are Tottenham like the power team in North London now? And obviously I believe we went 2-0 up, and then Adebayor got sent off and we lost 5-2. And at that time, I was volunteering at a drop-in centre for people with all sorts of mental health difficulties. And it was really fucking hard work. And I contemplated not going on that day. I thought, should I go and watch the game? But I thought, no, I've made a commitment. I'll do it. And I didn't have my phone with me for like the whole like 4 hours of the afternoon or whatever. And I didn't necessarily think we'd win, but it didn't even really occur to me to like contemplate the possibility of what actually happened. So I got my bus home and just checked the score and was just like, pardon?
We were really good going into that game as well, weren't we? We were just
incredible, and then we fell off a cliff.
Yeah, and it wasn't long. I think we just beat Newcastle 5-0, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Not long before that.
Yeah, it was proper. The Harry Redknapp will pay your taxes.
Yeah, and Saha was like banging in goals. And mm-hmm. he scored two for us in that game. Something, or Bales. Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah,
that and then, right. Yeah. And then because then we collapsed in that game. And then yeah. I'm pretty sure we lost like the next three games. They obviously finished above us.
Yeah.
We finished fourth. Chelsea won the Champions League. We didn't get blah, blah, blah. Yeah. The
awful scenes.
Yeah. So that's my nightmare scenario. So I was just about to say, fuck you, Tottenham, do your worst. Please don't. Please do your best. let me just have like a quick, like, positive, optimistic. Like, does anyone feel like, I'm not going to ask you to make a prediction, but do you feel like we could win this one, Sam?
Yes.
Okay. That's good enough for me, Lauren.
Absolutely.
Okay. Billy?
Fuck yes.
Fuck yes. Okay. Do you know what? I'm with you all. I just don't want to lose. I don't really care about anything else that happens after this game for the rest of the season. I just don't want to lose. Right. I've got a little quiz for you, as ever. There's not that much that I feel like we don't really know about them, but let's see if we can have some fun with it anyway. Since the dawn of the Premier League, Spurs and Arsenal have each had three players as the Golden Boot winner. Can you name them all, guys? How am I going to do this? Just shout some names at me, people. Three
team.
Spurs, three Arsenal.
Cool.
Who are they?
Kane,
Son.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Lineker.
Dawn of the Premier League.
Henry. Oh,
Premier League.
It is Henry, yep.
Adebayor. For Arsenal?
Aubameyang for Arsenal.
Well done, it is Aubameyang. It is not Adebayor. Okay, so you've got two left. One Tottenham, one Arsenal.
I don't know. Van Persie or Giroud? Arsenal?
Pick one.
It'd be Van Persie, isn't it?
Van Persie?
I reckon it might be Giroud.
It is Van Persie.
Yes, nice.
Who's our other Golden Boot winner? Jermaine Defoe?
Yes, not Jermaine Defoe. Did he ever
before
even get
him?
I love Jermaine Defoe, but did he get anywhere near a Golden Boot? He did not, did he? Let's be real.
I love Jermaine.
Me too.
Before, give us a clue. Before him or after him? Like modern era or old era?
It is before him. Lauren, it's all modern era.
Sorry.
It's not Klinsmann, is it?
It's not Klinsmann. But you're getting closer, actually. It is Sheringham.
I didn't know, had no clue that he won a Golden Boot for us.
Me neither. And if you'd asked me to name our Golden Boot winner, like, he just wouldn't have been on there at all. It just wouldn't have occurred to me. But yeah, Kane, Son, Sheringham, Aubameyang, Van Persie, and Thierry Henry, our great tormentor. Okay. Here is another one. Now, we all know this is the worst league fixture ever. But what is our longest winless streak? Is it A, 14 games, B, 9 games, C, 29 games, or D, 20 games? Sam, I'll go for you first.
Firstly, thanks for the questions, Ollie. I'm going to go with D.
D, 20 games. Billy?
I'm going to go 29.
Lauren.
I was going to say 20, but I'll be different. Was 14 one of them?
Yeah, 14 was first.
Yeah, I'll go 14.
It is 20 games.
Jesus Christ.
From 1999 to 2010.
Disgusting.
That is fucking awful, isn't it? When Ollie told me that today, I was just like, do you know what? Like, why do we support this football club?
It was humbling. Like, it was a humbling era. Like, I remember as a child, like, yeah. I didn't have those emotions of the North London derby because we never won them. It's only like of recent years where they are really competitive.
It's only really to Redknapp. Like, I think Martin Yor got us a few draws, didn't he? Like, but Redknapp.
That's it. Just draws. Yeah.
Redknapp was like the first time that they started to fear playing us again.
And I think it was the first time we won after 20 years, not 20 years, 20 games, 10 years is long enough. I don't need to make it worse. Was Danny Rose on his Premier League Premier League debut? Yeah. And that was my first North London derby.
Oh, at least you had a good one.
I know, but I didn't really have... I didn't really know what I was walking into. And I've told this story loads of times, but of just being like, it's the most intense experience ever being in that stadium for a North London derby. It just feels like everyone's going to have a heart attack.
And everyone that's scared of this running, that season we beat Arsenal, then Chelsea, then Man City in the running to finish fourth. So let's just not beat Man City this year.
Yeah, that's it.
I want that Arsenal pitch Chelsea invasion. When City win the league at White Hart Lane, I'm running on the pitch celebrating with them. Yeah.
Man, we're
stands.
All doing it. I can't wait. What a great day.
God of honour as they come off the pitch.
Yeah. They'll be like, you don't have to do it right now. Yes, we do. Please allow us. Yeah.
Vic just like, throwing the ball in his own net, celebrating.
Exactly. You know what it means, you better. All right, final question. Which of these Spurs players did not have a youth career with the Scum? Jamie O'Hara, Harry Kane, Rohan Ricketts, or David Bentley? Billy, I'll go to you first.
Well, I know... I think... Well... I think the only one that didn't out of those is Jamie O'Hara. I know the other... Definitely two of them did, so I'm going to go Jamie O'Hara.
Okay. Sam?
Yeah, I'll go Jamie O'Hara as well.
Lauren?
Yeah, I think Jamie O'Hara. For me, it was a toss-up between him and Ricketts, but...
I'm pretty sure Ricketts.
Yeah, so then...
My one was David Bentley, maybe. I think Bentley did as well, but don't think Jamie O'Hara did. I know Rohan Ricketts did.
They all did. Nah. They all crossed the great divide.
Trying to make us second guess ourselves. Thanks, Ollie. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Ollie. Thank you.
The quiz format is sacred. You can't do that to us, Ollie.
No, I know. I'm sorry.
Lost my trust.
This is what happens when Football Clichés releases a quiz the same day that he's writing these questions. That's why, because they had a trick question in there as well. Yeah, another recommendation again. Billy, I know you're a massive Clichés fan
just been
now, but guys,
talking about myself, yeah.
So just good.
The very same quiz.
Everyone needs to get on board with it. All right. I feel like this has actually been quite good vibes, this pod, given what we're about to face. But let's carry on anyway.
It was until the trick question came out.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
I sullied the vibes.
I like how that was like the mood killer, not like talking about our worst of London derbies.
Yeah, I've got to go, guys.
It's just a sheer betrayal. Yeah. Actually, that's a through line with Tottenham, let's be real. Talk me through all of your lovely culture picks, guys. Sam, I'm going to go to you first. What are you up to?
I am still watching Peaky Blinders and I'm really enjoying it. I think I'm like nearly there.
It's like a million seasons, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm up to like 9 million or so now. But yeah, it's really good. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Nellie and I are both looking forward to it each night. It's been a really good watch. Better than I thought it was going to be fair. I know it gets good reviews, but I thought it was going to like dry up after a couple of seasons, but it keeps giving. So yeah, it's been awesome. And then I had something else for you, but I've literally forgotten. I need to write these things down. I will pass. And if I remember, I'll put my hand up.
We'll come back to you.
Yeah, sorry about
that. Seriously, how big of a commitment is Peaky Blinders? And I'm going to say this, I'll never find time for it, but just say I did. How big is the commitment?
I don't think it's that big. I mean, they're like long
episodes.
It's
like every episode every season is like six episodes, right?
Yeah, there's not that many episodes in a season. Yeah, it's not an American 20 episodes.
Okay.
Yeah. And like, I feel like they end the as soon as, not that it feels like it's getting dry, but for me, like as soon as it feels like it needs to wrap up, they just do it. Sometimes even a little bit shorter than it probably could be stretched out for. So yeah, I think it's good. They change it up quick enough.
Okay. All right. Yeah. In that case, well, maybe I'll give it a go.
Maybe.
Just add it to the list. Lauren, what's going on with you?
Not much, really. I haven't done much culture because there's been midweek Games. So apart from watching MasterChef,
love a bit of MasterChef.
I do love. To be fair, I do love a bit of MasterChef. So that's probably I think it's the only thing I've watched since we last recorded. But I do have a song for you. So I love Mahalia. I really love Mahalia.
Yeah, me too.
So she's got a new single out called Nice Girls with Jazz Karis. So that is a really nice, it's called Nice Girls. Very nice song. I'm sure Eric Dyer would also think it was nice.
Very nice.
So, yeah. Always linking back to Spur. Mm-hmm. But that's all I've got for you.
Lovely stuff. Billy, what are you doing?
I'm just one of the basic people in the country that everyone is talking about Baby Reindeer. I'm one of those basic people that are watching it. And it's been a long time since the TV show grabbed me like this. Like, I watched it in 2 days. It's only 7 episodes, I think, because my colleague at work recommended it and I just watched it and then I could not stop watching it. And there's some genuinely very deeply upsetting things in it, and it's some very, very heavy context in there, but it's incredible. And I think the like when something is a true story, it makes it so much like more intriguing and better. And this is like a genuinely true story, and it's incredibly well realized, with some, you know, really sensitive subtopics about it, but it's also just like, it's really funny in places, and it's just a great, great story. And I've become totally obsessed with like the real life versions of the people and like watching TikToks about who they are in real life and stuff. And it's really interesting. And it's also quite sad and sickening. And like, there is a particular episode which everyone is talking about. It's episode 4, if you haven't seen it, that I would genuinely advise like to pay attention to the trigger warnings and stuff, because there's a lot of really heavy stuff. And I'm pretty hard on viewer. Like, I don't really get affected by much, but it really, really got to me, this one. So yeah, it's amazing. Wow, I can see why, okay, like the whole nation is talking about it right now. And it's just an absolute sensation on Netflix, and I would highly recommend it. And it's one of those like highly addictive shows that just isn't, you can't believe it's true, and then you like research it and it is actually all true, which is crazy.
It's something, so the main guy is something that happened to him, right?
Yeah, so basically, yeah, he's a comedian, and he was stalked in real life. Mm. And it tells the story of that stalkage, and then he turned that into a play, which then got a run in London, only won Olivier Award, and that play has now been turned into a TV show. And it's a really, really interesting story, but there's a lot of like themes in there that are really you know, you wouldn't, there's a lot more to it than just someone being stalked, put it that way. And it's incredible watch. It's an absolutely incredible performances all around as well.
7 episodes, very short episodes, correct?
Yeah, sure. They're all half an hour except for mm-hmm. the episode 4, which I mentioned. And episode 4 is just a complete change of direction, because it's like a backstory, and then once you see that episode, it's like, oh shit, it all makes sense now. And yeah, it's just really fucking good, and it's excellent. It is genuinely deeply upsetting though, but it's really good.
Am I going to be able to tolerate it in any way?
To be honest, no.
Okay, fine.
I honestly don't think so.
I'm gonna watch it now, because I actually like, I've seen loads of people and I thought,
yeah,
I'm gonna wait for Billy's review and then I'll decide whether I'm gonna watch it or not. So now I'm gonna watch it. That'll be my
homework. And then you feedback, and then you can tell me if I can handle it.
Because I feel like we're in the middle. I'm in the middle of.
So, message me when you've seen episode 4 as well, because I still not running out of people to talk about it with.
Amazing. It just seems to have come out of nowhere, man. I mean, I guess like it was a play and stuff, but I feel like I never even heard of it.
I never even heard of the comedian either. And he's like, now obviously he's going to turn into quite a big name, I think. And it's really weird, because his stand-up in the show is largely terrible. And then you watch videos of his stand-up in real life and it's really like authentic. And there's just loads of stuff. Like, a lot of the emails that are in the show are like verbatim emails. It's a really intriguing story. And if you hit up TikTok, there's lots of like all the real life side stuff of it as well, which is really good.
Sure, amazing. Billy, I finished 3 Body Problem.
Did you like it?
I did. I tell you what I thought about it is that I think it looks so cool, and like the concept is great, and it has some really good people. But I don't know. I feel like it's not. It just raced through the plot.
It really did race through the plot. That's only like 1 of 3 books.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is a really interesting idea. And then by the next episode, they're like, we're done with this now. Yeah. And then like that massive thing happens with the eye. And then I'm like, that's done.
I think it was at its best when it was like a mystery. Do you know what I mean? And then once it was like,
which is what I thought it was going
to
be.
Once it revealed itself, it's like, oh, they're not going to return to the actual three body problem again, and then it's just kind of changes completely after that. I loved it though, and I look forward to the next two series. But yeah, I did think it sort of lost its way a bit when it stops being a mystery.
I will say this, like obviously lots of people talked about episode 5 as being the sort of big episode, and I do, and it was, and I saw a description of it as being like very, very brilliant and very, very, very nasty, which is totally accurate. And but it's also very much like, this is what Benioff and Weiss like to do. They like big concepts and they like to do something that looks incredible. They like to take something that feels like it can't be filmed and film it. And they sort of pretend that there's a bit of a moral dilemma, but they don't really care about that.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And it's like, once, you know, once you're in, you're in. And I'm sure we'll carry on with the next couple of seasons. It's just like a weird, couldn't really get a hand on the vibe. I kept thinking there was going to be like a twist and like three body problem was going to refer to something else.
Yeah.
But it's not, is it?
Yeah. And I think they could have, obviously if those people that don't watch it, it's at the beginning of it takes place in a lot of virtual reality. And I think the virtual reality stuff is the coolest stuff. And then after that episode, it's just like, oh, we're not going to go back to that anymore.
Yeah. They're like, and now we're done. And then there's also like loads of sort of, I need to listen to podcasts about it actually, because I feel like there's loads of plot holes, or maybe it's just that I wasn't properly paying attention. I'm like, but how did that get from there to here? There's a lot of fake science as well, which I do enjoy, but I also need it to at least try to make sense. But yeah, it looks glorious. Are you tempted? Can we watch like the Chinese version anywhere? Are you tempted by that?
I don't think so. I don't think it's available. But I am definitely tempted to buy the books for sure.
Yeah.
Because I think that's just the first book, right? And
yeah.
Yeah. I know the TV show is massively different to the books. So yeah.
Because that'll be fun. Yeah. I think they've taken, like, they've sort of merged various characters and like moved them around. So.
And I think in the books, like the players of the whole thing, they don't like know each other like they do in the TV show, which I think makes the TV show better, because it's like it gives it like a drama sense that they all friends, whereas in the book I just think they're random people from around the world.
Oh, that makes more sense to me actually. Yeah. Because I was a bit like, why are all these
like six group of friends this group of six friends,
just, so many things happening to these guys. Yeah. I will say this, like I was very pleased when finally something happened, because there's one character where you just think, why is he here? Nothing's really happening. And then in the last episode, like some quite big shit happens to him. And I'm like, oh, okay.
But
so you were here for a reason.
It just makes it seem a bit weird though, doesn't it? That guy was randomly chosen to do that thing that he does at the last episode.
It really does, yeah.
But then in the book, he's just, and they're not connected, so it makes more sense. But it's just like, oh, let's just choose the sick friend.
This happens to me,
I did really enjoy it though. It's kind of like pulpy, isn't it?
It is very pulpy, and that's absolutely fine. I thought it was going to be deeper and more clever than it was, but once I realized that it wasn't, then it was
that's their thing, though, isn't it? Just making it pulpy and entertaining, and I think...
Exactly. I think there's a space for that.
They could have just gone way too hard sci-fi and no one would have had a clue what's going on, so I think they nailed it, really, because it was like really interesting to watch.
Yeah, very true. Very true. And now I have to go back to Shogun. Did you finish that?
No, I really need to. I'm terrible at watching things that I have to concentrate on. So,
and I have to concentrate. Yeah, you have to put your phone down. You have to look at the screen the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah, I really need to. I am going to do it when I have the time to do it. But I only have a half of watching things while working at the same time. So.
Yeah, this one requires commitment for sure. Yeah, we're like 3 or 4 episodes in, so we're going to go back to that. Thank you very much for being with me on this journey, guys. I hope we all survive. God send us all on our way, and we'll see you on the other side. Billy, will you see us out?
Up the Spurs.